Hello, and welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast. My name is Dustin Morbido. We've got another really exciting show this week. And joining me as always to share in it, Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's me. I'm the important part of the show. Thank you for having me. I'm so
happy
to be
here. The most meaningful, important part of the
always.
Event. Fair enough. Don't be too humble, Lorraine.
Oh, I'm not. I'm very, very meek and mild when it comes to my disposition and self-importance.
not to take too much wind out of your sails, but we also do have a very special guest this afternoon, whatever time it is when you're listening to this.
This day or night.
This day, night, or morning, maybe on your commute. Who knows? Yeah, we have a very special guest joining us. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Hi, Dustin. Hi, Lorraine. I'm Brandon Celentano. I am the director of the Indie Game Showcase at Too Many Games in Pennsylvania, and I also volunteer for the Indie Game Showcase at MAGFest in Maryland.
Well, thank you for coming on. Yes. Like I said, we really appreciate you taking the time. Anytime someone's willing to volunteer, you know, an hour or two of their time to hang out with us, I really appreciate it. And we've had a lot of fun talking to developers in the past, just other people making games about either their creative process, or like the last time we did a show, talked to the Rightfully Barry Arms folks about their experience showing at PAX and other events in general. But I also would like to start expanding and whenever we can talk to people who work in the other side or in other facets
just,
of game dev
other
stuff in general.
Spheres of the whole process.
I wanted to have you on specifically to ask about what it's like being on the other side of the coin in terms of like a game event.
yeah. So the short answer is that it's awesome. It's a really fun time to be able to kind of be on the team that makes the magic happen behind all of these events. This past year is my first year at MAGFest, but I've been doing Too Many Games for about 5 years now, and it's always, you know, just a really fun time, like I said, just to be on the team that really makes the magic happen and, you know, can put on these really great events for, you know, everyone who's there.
Well, that's amazing. And Too Many Games coming up, because we'll be there.
Yes.
But it's the end of June, correct? The 28th, is that the first day?
Yep, it's going to be June 28th to 30th, which is the last weekend of June.
Because again, like in my mind, like they're not here until they're here, so I like have them on my calendar. I know, I'm like, all right, well, until like about June 15th, we've got time to work on stuff. And then it's like, oh, then we got to really get serious. If you're in the general Midwest area or have the means to travel further, I would highly suggest coming out to that show for sure.
Yeah, we actually have an audience. So basically our audience actually comprises people from 46 states and 7 countries. So if you're close by, you'll absolutely come. But if you're far away, you know, still come anyway. Because, again, we got folks come from very far away every year.
Do you know, here's a question. Do you know if any, currently in this showcase or in the past, have you ever had any developers showcase from, like, outside of the continental U.S.?
Not yet. We might get to that point one day, but as for now, it's just folks within the continental U.S.
Cool. I was just curious because again, that's a thing that like in a pie in the sky universe, like that's a thing I've thought about before. Because again, we've never we've showcased coast to coast. We've done little things at California before. We've done things on like in like the New York area and obviously MAGFest and beyond. But I would love to travel internationally and show game stuff at some point. I think it would be really neat. So that's like a bucket list item for us. Maybe we'll get the chance.
And if an international developer wants to come to Too Many Games, you know, we're certainly not going to stop them. We'll absolutely encourage it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. That's wonderful. Well, one of my first questions was going to be, how long have you been doing this stuff? But you kind of already covered that. Another question I had, since it kind of overlaps with some of your time doing this stuff, is how have things been in like a post-COVID world with running game events? Have you felt personally that things are like, are we kind of finally reaching an equilibrium where things are like normal to better than they were pre-COVID? Or is it still like a rebuilding period?
Yeah, I definitely feel, at least for Too Many Games, personally, I feel that we're kind of past the rebuilding period. You obviously, COVID was the last thing that any convention organizer wants to deal with. And I think for Too Many Games, there was maybe like 2021 and 22, we were still kind of on the rebound where like our attendance numbers were still a little bit lower and people weren't quite as, you'll see people were still nervous about being out in like a big public space. But yeah, at this point, I think we're kind of over that hump and we're back to, firing on all pistons. You know, this year, Too Many Games has been getting bigger pretty much every year since it was founded, and this year is definitely going to be the biggest ever by far.
Oh, that's amazing. Nice. That's so wonderful to hear. Because, yeah, that was a heartbreaking thing for me for COVID. And again, like I said, obviously, for you guys, anyone who's involved in organizing events, but I used to go to a lot of stuff, not necessarily video game focused, but a lot more tabletop stuff back in the day, because I used to play like trading card games a lot and stuff. So when I was like a teenager to in my 20s, I would do more of that stuff. And so having the con vibe, just having the like, you kind of show up at a place and like a lot of the people you know are there, and it's your little like blips on the calendar to touch base with folks that you've met from around the country. having that stuff go away and during the COVID era, being afraid that it might never come back was really bummed me out. So I'm glad to hear that things are bouncing back in a powerful way for you guys and hopefully for other shows as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And fortunately, you know, there were a bunch of shows that never really did bounce back. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some shows that just don't happen anymore. So we're very lucky at Too Many Games that we're still able to put it on every year. And again, that it's gotten bigger than it's ever been before.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. Oh, here's another question. Just in general, what is your time commitment like to the show? Is this for you? Is this a full-time gig? Is it a thing you do in your spare time while doing other stuff? Like, what's the deal with your time put to this versus like other things in your professional life?
Yeah, so for me, Too Many Games and MacFest, you know, they're definitely, you know, side hustles. You know, I do have a full-time job, which is elsewhere. Too Many Games is definitely something that I'm doing kind of like weeknights and weekends, you know, when I've got the spare time.
Right on. And again, I assume that's like, for the most part, many people, including like obviously like a significant number of the people who are on the floor running logistics and doing event stuff or volunteering.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like for Too Many Games, there are, you know, a few people who, you know, work full time for the convention throughout the year. But by and large, it's mainly, you know, folks who are kind of doing it on the side, kind of like, you know, throughout the year when needed, or you know, who are just there for like the 3 days of the convention itself.
On your part, when does planning and logistics start up for the show itself? Is it like as soon as 1 year wraps up? Are you in some ways thinking about the next year's show the weekend after the event? Or does it take like a couple months before you really start getting into like, when are you going to start looking to 2025?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, the show Too Many Games is definitely big enough that it's definitely year-round planning. So, like, once 2024 is over, you know, there might be like a week or two where we're all like, okay, let's just take a break and sleep for a bit. But once that's over, you know, it's right into planning for the next year.
And for the indie stuff specifically, I think this year, I want to say it was open for about like a couple weeks in like February, March. Is that correct? Is my memory correct on that?
The applications, you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So we opened them like end of January and they closed the first day of March. So yeah, it's a couple weeks to a month that we keep those open usually.
Right on. And do you recall, is that usually about the time frame, like about that far from the show proper? Like if the show is usually in like middle of the year, like June-ish, it's submissions for Too Many Games generally start in like the January, February time frame.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of purposely done because MacFest is in, you know, mid-January, like because, you know, a lot of our folks go to MacFest in some capacity. So typically we wait till that's over before we really launch our indie game submissions, because usually people aren't thinking about Too Many Games until MacFest is over.
Right.
So you plan to go to both.
No, absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. And I just wanted to get that out there for posterity, because I would encourage anyone out there who's listening, if you dabble in game development and you are thinking about places to show off your game, I would suggest submitting to everything you can find, including Too Many Games. And so that time frame should be consistent to some degree in the years to come if you want to get in.
Yeah. We generally aim for like the last weekend of June every year for the convention. So, you know, the time frame for when, you know, applications and whatnot open, that's usually the same from year to year.
So you run the indie game side of stuff. What does that entail in general? Are you mostly doing like which games get in? Are you at that kind of level? Are you mostly figuring out like the show floor logistics of how many setups can we do and that kind of thing? Or is it all or some of that?
I'd say it's most of that. So like your first thing is, of course, you know, opening up the applications in January. And then, you know, reviewing them as they come through, deciding, you know, kind of make sure we really know what each game is all about. You know, we always encourage developers to provide a demo if they have one. So we'll always play that if they provide it. You know, some might not be at the point where they have a demo, so they might just have like a trailer of some gameplay footage. So we'll always make sure to check that out. You know, whatever is given to us, we'll make sure to check it out so we can understand really what every game is all about. And then once we've kind of done all that, you know, it's a matter of deciding, okay, which games are we going to accept? Which ones are we going to wait list? Which ones are we going to decline? And then sending out those emails to all the developers. And then after that, you know, kind of the logistics of like where they're all going to go on the show floor. Typically, you know, Too Many Games is getting bigger every year. So like there are, you know, some adjustments that get made to the floor plan every year. But for the indie section, there hasn't, you know, like that's mostly been the same from year to year. So it's just a matter of like, okay, how many spaces do we have? How many folks can we accept? And, you know, where can we, you know, put them all? Cause some might want to be like in a larger versus a smaller space. Some might want to be next to a certain other gamer developer, like that's a friend of theirs. Kind of. So really the next step is like figuring out all those logistics as well.
No, that's really cool. And that was actually a first for me of filling out the thing of if you wanted to be near somebody. I thought that was a nice little touch actually of just like, hey, if you've got folks that you've conned with a couple times and you know that they're like reliable or whatever, it probably is a good idea to be near somebody who you can count on to like, oh, maybe if I need some extra tape, they've got it, or, you know, just to keep an eye on my stuff when I go to the bathroom or whatever. I just thought that was a nice little thing to have on the application.
Yeah. And it's like, it's like, it's not a guarantee. Like sometimes, like, we just can't make it work, but we do always try to, you know, to make that work when it's requested.
No, for sure.
Yeah, we'd actually had that feature specifically brought up to us by the Daylight Basement Studio Group because they were next to us at MAGFest, and they're like, hey, we're also going to apply for Too Many Games, like, you guys should go, and then we could be next to each other again. So that was a fun little incentive because we had a really, really good time with them at MAGFest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And like one of my favorite things about helping run an event like this is it's not just giving developers a chance to showcase their games to, you know, such a large audience. You know, it's really also about, you know, giving developers the opportunity to, like, network with each other and learn from each other. What I think is true about both Too Many Games and MAGFest is that everyone is just really supportive of each other. Like, everyone is really willing to share their knowledge as to, like, how they got into the game industry, like how they ended up making the game they made, and just like advice for like how to succeed, how to you stand out and what's becoming, I think, a very crowded marketplace. Like there's just so many, yeah. There's just so many more folks than ever before, I think, trying to make, you know, indie games and trying to, you know, be successful. And I think it's just invaluable at these conventions like Too Many Games and MAGFest to, again, not just show your game to the world, but also just, you know, learn from others who are in your industry and are trying to do the same thing as you.
And I think you're completely right on that, especially, and I got that vibe, again, this past year was our first year at MAGFest, but I absolutely got that vibe of, like, we are a community banding together to kind of do this all, even if we're all kind of, like, in the indie space showing our own projects or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a,
exactly.
That's a sentiment I really appreciate when people have that, because when people have the opposite, in indie dev specifically, I just find it a little, it just seems a little unnecessary to me, because, like, when you're building games to the scale of, like, 1 to 2 to a dozen people, as far as I'm concerned, there's no, like, proprietary technology that you could possibly leverage. Like, like you're not protecting trade secrets if it's like, oh, my game has jumping like no game has ever implemented it, or our shooting is so is so unique that no other human could ever conceive of doing that. Like, for indie stuff, it's not that, even a little bit, in my experience. It's all about iteration and execution and just kind of grinding it out. And that kind of stuff is, you're only going to help yourself and other people by being, you know, as open as you can be with those kind of things, because you'll benefit when other people are open with you.
100%. And that's feedback that, you know, like you're saying that now, and other developers give me that same feedback as well. Like, you know, it was great to not only show my game to so many people, but just to, like, be able to talk with others in the industry and just, like, see how, you know, like, they're trying to solve the same problems that I'm encountering.
Yeah, some of my favorite con experiences when we've been showing have been the networking side of things. Like, even if it's someone who's just there, like, as an attendee who's also a dev, and, like, having those kind of conversations, or just the people surrounding us, or however many other demos we get to take in, chatting with other developers is always some of my favorite stuff.
Absolutely. And it's something that, as an organizer for this, I want to help foster as much as possible.
Well, speaking of that, actually, I'm curious, from a personal perspective for you, how did you, or why did you decide you wanted to get involved in game events specifically? Were you ever on the development side of things? Were you just a big fan of games in general? Or is it something that you just kind of fell into and then ended up really enjoying?
Yeah, so a little bit of everything, I think. So I was never really personally a game developer, and I probably will never make my own game. But, you know, I've been a video gamer my whole life. Like, I grew up on, like, the NES, the SNES, and 64. I was a 90s kid, so I grew up when there were just a lot of great games to be played. So, and I'm still a gamer these days. Like, that's my primary hobby. And a good chunk of my career is also in, you know, like, my full-time career is in event planning and management.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to get involved with conventions like Too Many Games just to get more, you know, experience in, you know, managing large-scale events like this one. And as far as the, you know, getting involved with the Indie Showcase is concerned, that was something that I definitely just kind of fell into. Like I said, I've been with Too Many Games since 2019, and I did a kind of bunch of roles, like, from 19 through 2021. And then 2022, they're like, hey, we need someone to run the Indie Game Showcase. Do you want to do it? And I was like, okay, sure. You had never envisioned that I would be doing that one day, but I was asked to do it, and I just kind of fell into it, and I really just fell in love with it. Like, I just love the opportunity to, you know, not only check out a lot of amazing new games myself, but also just be in a place where I could really support these people, you know, as they, you know, again, try to promote their games and just network with other developers in the industry.
And that's another thing that I think is really, it should be heartening for anyone listening to this if you've ever thought, like, hey, I want to be more involved in the creation or promotion of games in general, but I don't necessarily know if I want to make a game, like, be a developer,
right?
Because there are tons of vectors for you to be involved with, you know, bringing games to market. And those positions, like what you're doing and what other folks do on the event side, has been, I found, really important.
Oh, 100%.
For us personally, absolutely. And I assume most indie developers in general, because it does give you that avenue for both exposure and iteration of, like, you just got to kind of take yourself out there and show your stuff to the public and mm-hmm. see what hits and what misses, and then, you know, take stock of it, make changes, and come to the next thing. And obviously, if you're making a game, like, when we work on stuff, we, like, in the past, I had aspirations of, like, we're from the Southeast Michigan area. So in the past, I was like, oh, pie in the sky, maybe I'll start trying to push for, like, more events and get, like, bigger, like, grassroots stuff here. And there simply just isn't time to do everything. Like, mm-hmm. if you're making a game, there simply isn't time to do a lot of the other stuff you'd want to do with your time. Mm-hmm. And so the world needs people on the ground with diverse skill sets doing all of that stuff, people putting on events or supporting the developers, helping them get out there. And hopefully the developers are bringing their A game, bringing cool stuff that people will be really excited to see.
Who then come to the conventions.
Which will, right, exactly, make people want to come to next year's event. And yeah, it's been really heartening going to things like MAGFest, and I can't wait to go to Too Many Games in a couple months and just getting out there and being supported by folks who are out there helping us get things out to the public.
Absolutely. Like I said, I've never made a game, probably never will, but I'm still able to be in a position where I can support folks who are doing that. That's actually why I wanted to. So, like, this past year was my first year at MAGFest. It was my first year ever being there at all. And I wanted to be there because I wanted to, again, be in a position where I could help these people, the way I'm doing it, Too Many Games, and just kind of see how, like, another convention runs their showcase. So, yeah, it's just really great to be able to, again, be in a spot where I'm able to support people like that.
Kind of like to your point earlier, like, the more people than ever are, like, attempting to make and release games. And, like, so even from the developer side of it, like, getting anyone's eyes on it and, like, an online faction is almost impossible just because there's so much other information. But if you're in a single physical space and there's only so many things in front of you, or in this case, maybe too many, you have a better chance of catching someone's eye because you're like, oh, it's right here in person. It's not like 3 website clicks away, or it's not like on a giant list on like Steam or whatever of like 100 different things that came out in the past second.
Exactly.
It's incredible, like, the amount of exposure you can get at an in-person event on top of just the physical aspect of it, of just like eyes actually looking at you and not skimming over it to scroll down a screen or whatever.
Exactly. And people can actually, try it while they're standing in front of you. You can get, that real-time feedback.
Another thing you talked about in terms of your background, and because I think we came from basically the same era of games, because, I'm a
90s kid.
90s kid. I'm approaching, age 40 will be here before you know it. But, like, the SNES era was definitely my formative video game era. And I forget who it was off the top of my head. I believe at some point it was a game journalist like 10 or 15 years ago who was like, games from that era felt like Nintendo games specifically, like things like Link to the Past, felt like they had built that game a dozen times and like thrown it out until it was about as polished it could be and then released the final thing. And for me, that's the kind of thing that makes me really excited about doing indie dev in a world where, and indie dev specifically in a world where I feel like the AAA space has slipped like that a significant amount at this point, where like I'm sure it's not true of all projects, but there is definitely like a sentiment in big budget games that folks are shipping things in many cases underbaked, and they're just like, all right, well, we want to generate revenue now, so we'll get a minimally viable product out to the public and kind of fix it in post over the next 6 months to a year.
And that's not isolated. That's like across the industry.
Right. And the thing I really
now.
Love about indie games, which is also one of the hardest parts of doing it, is that, if you have a really small team, you have the liberty of hammering away at something until it's really polished. Mm-hmm. But obviously the flip side of that is you don't really have the financial
resources.
You are
resources. The one hammering away at it until it's fully
polished. That a big studio does.
Right.
But that's been my my most enjoyable part of working on our stuff and watching other people work on small things, is that the creative leverage is very high in terms of being able to really tweak something until you feel like it's in good shape before you really put it out there.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I definitely agree with your assessment that there's just a lot more than ever before AAA games that are just not finished. It's like, let's release a game and then fix it later. Whereas with indies, like in my couple years in the field, I really haven't come across one that's trying to do that. Like, they're all really taking the time to make the game as good as possible before they push it out to the world. And I think that's how it should be. When you're making a game, it should be done, and you shouldn't rush it out the door just to start making money. You should make sure it's as good as possible before you push it out there. But at the same time, I find that people can still be very forgiving.
Yeah.
Even at like too many games, there's people who are in different stages of development. Like some people, like their game is already released. Some are in early access. Some just have, a free demo on Steam. And like that's okay. Like your game doesn't have to be completely finished and completely polished before you release it. Before you come to showcase at a convention. Mm-hmm. Like I found that at least at too many games, your audience is forgiving. Like they understand that how much work it takes to make an indie game, and things might not be perfect, but that's kind of the idea of being at a convention is if you're going to play a game, to be able to give that feedback, and as a developer to get that real time feedback, saying okay, people are playing it. Here's what they're saying. Here's what we've got to work on.
And that's an extremely excellent point that we talked about in the past too, but I'm really glad you reiterated it here, because exactly, it's not that like don't show stuff that's really early or really unfinished. It's just like make sure that you give people the proper context when they're approaching it, that like, all right, hey, this is a prototype, this is an early alpha, it's very much a work in progress relative to like, oh, this thing is 95% done, we're gonna ship it next month, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. For too many games, like we definitely try to accept a games that kind of fit in all three categories, like games that are released, games that are early access, games that are still in a demo. You're just, because again, your game is not completely finished. There's still work to do. That's not like an automatic disqualifier for being able to showcase. Again, the idea is to help developers get their games off the ground, and that can be helping them understand like, okay, here's where we are now, and here's what we need to do to improve to get to the point of early access or releasing or whatever that next step is.
And that actually perfectly segues into a separate question I was going to ask you, which is when you guys are evaluating stuff to bring in the show, what is that balancing act like between both early stuff versus like more mature things? Or like, do you guys try to balance by like kind of rough genre conventions at some point of like, oh, we want to get like a broadly representative swath of kind of like, in general, a lot of the different things are out there. So we try to get, a platformer here too, some more narrative driven stuff, some like 3D action games. Like, how is that process for you guys in terms of picking what ends up at a show in any given year?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough process every year, because as you'll see when you guys are with us in June, like our showcase, even though Too Many Games is a very large convention now, the showcase is still pretty young and still pretty small. So we definitely have less space to give away than like a larger convention like MAGFest would. There's no like one specific thing we look for every year. I'd say our main goal is just to have like a variety of genres represented. We try to have some platformers, some shooters, some roguelikes, puzzle games. Our aim is to have just like a mix of genres represented, so that when someone's going to the indie game section, they're able to play a variety of different games throughout the whole weekend.
And my tip, again, like we've talked about it on other shows and other contexts, about submitting to stuff and like getting a build in shape, whatever it is. Even if you're early on in a thing, if you're trying to submit to things for like Too Many Games and beyond, my best tip for developers would be try to hone in on, even if it's something early, try to hone in on at least one thing that in your estimate in the current build stands out relative to like games on average. So if you've got like a thing that's like 80% prototype art, if you've got like one game mechanic that you're really proud of, like really try to dial in on that. Put that in the focus of like whatever little gameplay chunk that you submit or whatever, in your description, if you don't even have a build yet, of like, here's what we're going for. Or like, if art is your thing, try to make like, if you can make a 5-minute section of gameplay that's just like the most simple gameplay possible, but the assets in there are like really, really good looking. If at all possible, if you're at like an early to medium stage of a project, I would suggest trying to dial in on at least one thing and make it as exceptional as you can, given whatever your current project timeline is and like, the state of stuff is at that point.
I think that's great advice. Definitely anything that helps us understand like why your game stands out, why it's different from other comparable games in the genre, always something that makes that decision making process easier.
Yeah, having a hook that you can both like promote and use it to like explain your game like a quick fashion that's like, oh yeah, I get that, is indispensable.
100%. And even though Too Many Games the showcase is pretty small at the moment, we definitely have plans to make it bigger in the coming years. I think in years past, we definitely had a struggle getting people to apply. And this year, I think we maybe more than double the number of applicants that we had the
Excellent.
Previous year. So, based on this, I think we now know that we need to look at ways to make it bigger next year so that we can, accept, more games than we have in the past.
Amazing. And that's a really good problem to have. Again, you want to be on the upswing. You want to be growing a little bit. You want people to, in general, have enthusiasm for showing and coming out to your thing. So I'm glad to hear that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Another thing I'd say from the dev side is, again, don't get too discouraged if you do, for whatever reason, get rejected from something. It could be for as broad of reasons as, like I was describing before, maybe events are curating more on, they want to like make a broad representation of gaming in general, so maybe, you
know, tick certain genres.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they have 8 roguelikes that are already looking really good, like, maybe they don't have room for a 9th, and that's just, it just happens to be the way the submissions worked out that year. Or, you know, don't take it personally as you're, because we've certainly submitted to plenty of stuff and been rejected to it, and all I can say is kind of keep at it, keep sending stuff out, and keep iterating, and eventually you'll get, as long as in your estimation the game is getting better, your acceptance rate will increase over time. If you're putting yourself out there and getting rejected from stuff, don't let it dissuade you from putting yourself out there in the future. You got kind of just have to keep grinding at it.
I would definitely agree with that, and I'd also advise, you know, if you get rejected from somewhere, like, don't be afraid to ask for feedback. There were a bunch of folks that, you know, we declined, and they reached out for feedback, and we gave it to them. You know, we told them, you know, what we felt was lacking could be improved, and what would help improve their chance for getting accepted at future conventions. So by all means, do not be afraid to ask for that, because I know I personally am more than happy to provide that.
No, that's wonderful. And I will say that any events or like showcases or anything that provide that stuff by default, that is stuff that I would also recommend submitting to in particular. Like last year, it was coming out of, because last year we ended up doing, GDEX was in the summer that year, and they've since moved to fall. But it was closer to the time Too Many Games will be this year. But we were at that event and met somebody from Seattle Indies. And he was like, oh, we take games from out of state. If you guys want to submit, you know, feel free to do so. And so we had submitted for that event and got rejected from that one. But that event, by default, their structure of their submission process was they provided handwritten feedback from like 4 or 5 different people. Mm-hmm. And so in getting all of those notes, we took all that stuff down and, you know, implemented a lot of changes relative to things that people commented on. And took those changes into builds at things like the Cleveland Gaming Classic, which we did last year. And then subsequently, those changes were in the build we submitted to MAGFest, which got us into that show. Mm-hmm. And so
and
we
they
lived
also
that
provided
cycle.
Feedback on our acceptance as well, which was awesome. Like, that's just a cool, it's a feature that I really enjoy.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah. I'm always happy to provide feedback to anyone who wants it. So, you know, if you apply for convention and you don't get that feedback by default, you know, by all means, you know, do not be afraid to ask for it.
For sure. And then I will add one little addendum to that is absolutely ask for feedback, but don't make it a protracted back and forth of like, but you guys let this game in or whatever. Just like, exactly, you know, it's not a debate. It's a
these
like,
are opinions.
Yeah. Exactly. They you're asking for their thoughts. If the folks who evaluated your thing are kind enough or capable of giving to you, take that stuff in stride, but don't make it like a, you know, like, oh, well, I see that their game got in. Why did that happen? You will never make a meaningful headway by directly, as hard as it is to do, because, you know, I tell myself not to do it and I still do it. If we take our stuff out there and when I see something else that looks really cool or just like sparks my interest and I think like, oh, our game's not quite like that, and you know, sometimes you can get a little discouraged or whatever. Try to resist the impulse to do like one-to-one comparisons to other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just attempt to not do it, because it is ultimately going to be more of a distraction than it is helpful to you. You kind of just have to narrow in on, again, like you described earlier, making your thing, making at least some part of it stand out from the crowd in general, and then making that part and the parts beyond as good as you personally can possibly make it.
Yep, absolutely. That's great advice. And I'll also add to that as well that, you know, for the games that we do reject, it's very rarely because we thought they were bad. Like, there were, like, I think of all the games that of all the applications we received this year, like, none of them were like, I didn't think any of them were like legitimately bad. They were all great games in their own way. So, you know, rejection doesn't mean that like we think your game is bad. To say the least.
For sure, 100%. And again, like in the moment, because again, having experienced rejection plenty of times, like you're going to feel that way a little bit no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true, like you're going to like, that's going
to hurt.
The pangs of that, the pangs of that will like, you know, echo through your mind a little bit. But all you can do is just like, you know, tell yourself you're being a little bit irrational, shrug it off, and then give yourself a little time to recover and then get ready for the next phase of, you know, tweaking stuff, sending out to the next thing, whatever it is, for sure.
Absolutely.
But that's another great thing to like, again, don't, making a game is personal, but when you don't get into a thing for whatever reason, try not to take it personally.
100%.
Here's another question related to MAGFest. One of the things that stuck out to me about that show was how much they had drilled into folks about the core hours and being there and showing up for the event during basically like the allotted open and close times of the show.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good, but also surprised me a little bit personally, because I'm just like thinking, well, if you've put on the effort to submit the thing and get accepted and travel however far you are to travel there, in my mind, I'm like, all right, well, I've done like 90% of the hard stuff. Now I just need to like be there each afternoon. But from your perspective, in either this past MAGFest or at Too Many Games, is that a thing you've run into in the past of people potentially being a little flaky with being on the show floor? Or have you run into any other issues with indie devs that you would suggest they, you know, best practices that they either try to conform to or should avoid doing to have a smooth show floor experience?
Yeah, I'd say I can't really say we've had that issue with any significant frequency. Like, you know, I agree that like if you're going to, you know, spend the time to apply, pay, and then, you know, and then you know, spend the money to be there, I think most people are committed to being there the entire time. You know, but I think you've seen issues, you know, every now and then where maybe a developer is like by themselves. Maybe they have to like leave their booth for a bit because they need like to get some food or whatever. But I can't really say I have any major issues with like, you know, delinquency or people just like disappearing for long periods of time, or at least with any significant frequency.
That's
which
good.
Is good.
No, that is good. And it was just the thing I was generally curious on. Because again, in talking to like what you as a developer can maybe do, if you have the capability at all, I would suggest that if you're in that position where it's literally like potentially just going to be you and nobody else at your booth, before the show starts, try to see if you can find like a friend, a family member, you know, somebody who might be like, hey, I can give you, you know, a weekend out of town. I'll pay for the hotel and stuff. If you'd be willing to spend some of your time with me hanging out and, you know, just watching computers, making sure nobody walks away with stuff and like giving people like a little pitch about what my project is while I go to the bathroom or get lunch or whatever. I would highly suggest doing that if you can. Lorraine and I, we usually are a two-person team. I'm thinking that we're going to try to do PAX East next year, and if we end up doing that show, we're going to try to find at least one or two other
people.
Yeah, to come support us over the course of that event. But if you are truly like a solo developer, I would not shy away from going to stuff, because I think there's still a lot of value at going to events whenever you can. But if you have the capability, I would definitely recommend trying to enlist one or two other people on the side who might be able to or willing to like rotate in and give you a little support, so you can get that latitude to both go out to stuff and again
burn yourself out completely.
Right, have the room to step away, be like, I need to use the bathroom, I need to get lunch, whatever.
Yep, I would definitely agree with that. I'd definitely try to solicit a friend or family member or somebody just to kind of help you out, because being at a convention, if you've never done before, it is exhausting.
Yes.
MAGFest is of course kind of unique because it's 24 hours. But even Too Many Games, where it's not 24 hours, we do end by like 9 or 10 every night. Even there, it's still a very long day of being on your feet, talking to people a lot. It's definitely, I'm not saying like you can't do it by yourself. We've had people at MAGFest and Too Many Games who have done it all by themselves, but just be mindful that it is quite exhausting. And I do recommend, if possible, always try to get a friend or family member, someone just to kind of stand in for you whenever you need to take a break.
No, for sure. And again, from personal experience, I can say that it does require a minimum level of engagement if you want to get the most out of your show floor experience. Mm-hmm. So like whenever somebody stops by, my tip to other people when we've talked to them is like, if someone truly pauses in an aisleway, like if they spend like 3 or 4 seconds looking at your trailer or watching somebody else play or like looking at your art or whatever, approach those people and are like, hey, this is my game. It's about this. Would you like to try it?
Yes.
As opposed to not saying anything, because if you just stay silent, in many cases they'll just keep walking because they see something else interesting or they've got another thing to do. But if you just engage them just that little bit, like you don't have to be too pushy about it, but just enough to say like, hey, here's my thing. Are you actually interested in it? In many cases, you'll get like a question or two or even a demo that you might not get otherwise. But that gets tiring after a whole weekend. And so it is good to have sometimes where you can tag out to let somebody else do that and just, go sit down for 20 minutes or whatever. So.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point you made as well, Dustin, about engagement. A lot of people are going to walk by your booth, but a lot of them, maybe they're a little shy. Maybe they're not going to want to engage with you unless you take that first step. So definitely, by all means, if you see someone kind of checking out your booth or your game, by all means, feel free to greet them, invite them to try out your game, and you invite them to give their feedback as well. You don't want to, misengage with someone because maybe they were just a little bit too shy. Definitely don't be afraid to make that first step and, invite them. Say, hey, you want to try my game? And, like you said, tell them a little bit about it.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Take feedback whenever they give it. Ask them, hey, you got any notes for me? Bring at least one writing implement, whether it's even like pulling out your phone and jotting stuff down on the notes app. Or I like to bring like notepads and notebooks to events and physically write stuff down. But be prepared to do that a lot as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point as well. Because like, there's some people, maybe they know you're the developer, they might be like too shy to give you feedback, like not want to sound critical or something. Mm-hmm. So you also, when someone is playing your game, you kind of see how they're playing it. Like, are they getting like frustrated a certain part? Are they like struggling with a certain part? Kind of learn to like keep an eye out for those nonverbal cues to see where your players are getting stuck and, you know, where they may be struggling, so you know what you need to improve.
I actually find that stuff to be the most valuable in showing games live, especially at events that are just generally attended by the public, because that's the kind of thing that, like, those are the kind of things that you will never get from, you know, even if you are fortunate enough to build a fan base of people who are, like, really enthusiastic about your game and actively interested in it, you will not see things like, oh, this basic tutorialization about, like, you know, how to jump or whatever was not conveyed to the average person in a straightforward way. Mm-hmm. You can't get that feedback from someone who is already sold on the game you're making, but you absolutely can intuit it from watching just random people who have no affiliation with your product come up and pick up the controller or the keyboard or whatever and mess around with it for for like 15 or 20 minutes.
Yep, absolutely.
As a closing note on just your experiences watching people show off games at Too Many Games and MAGFest and beyond, do you have any other off the dome, like, specific tips to developers who apply to show their games at events like Too Many Games? Anything that we didn't discuss already in terms of, like, pre-planning before they submit, or like planning leading up to the show before they get there, of like what they should be prepared for?
Yeah. Yes, I think we've definitely covered, a lot, but maybe a couple of things I could think of would be, you know, make sure you've got like the right supplies with you at the show. Too Many Games and others provide stuff like, you know, tables and chairs, the basic stuff like that. But, you know, make sure you've got like the equipment like for your game as well. Like, make sure you've got like the laptops. You know, I definitely recommend monitors. You want to make sure that you have a bigger screen so that folks are more easily, you know, see your game, you know, whether they're playing or they're walking by. You always have backup in case something breaks. You don't want to be like kind of running out at the last minute. It's like, you get another laptop or charge or whatever. So make sure you have backups, you know, for all the equipment that you're going to need. And this goes back to earlier about how tiring it can be to be at a convention. You know, I always recommend you're just bringing like snacks and water. You know, Too Many Games and other shows have, you know, actual like concession stands, but they can be a little expensive. And sometimes, especially if you've got a lot of traffic throughout the day, you might not really have the time to like leave your table and, you know, go get a meal or whatever. So you make sure you got like, you know, some water or some snacks with you, so, you know, you're not leaving your booth every, you know, few minutes to get a drink or some food.
We always pack like sandwiches pretty much, and like have like a small cooler with us.
Yeah,
like stuff.
I was going to say, our usual go-to is to eat breakfast off-site, pack a lunch, and then usually have some kind of dinner either off-site or, you know, depending on the timing of the event, on-site in whatever capacity. Like you said, every little bit helps when you're trying to like put on a successful event as possible without totally breaking the bank on, you know, a bunch of meals and stuff like that. Those are some of the places you can save a few dollars, whereas like travel and hotel stuff can be like somewhat, you know, non-negotiable, like to some degree. The cost is what the cost is.
Yeah, but still, like, much easier to buy, you know, like, a case of water for a few dollars from the grocery store than pay a few dollars for one bottle of water at like, a convention center.
No, absolutely, for sure. Lorraine, do you have any other, like, errant thoughts, comments, or questions about Too Many Games, exhibiting games in general?
And this kind of circles back to something we had talked about before. Like, there's something so unique about indie sections of bigger gaming conventions, because there's kind of, like, a agreed upon, like, yeah, these things are like maybe not as like big and flashy as like the bigger AAA booths or whatever, or like they're not done yet quite exactly, even if they are like just smaller things, but like people kind of understand if you see someone there, there's a high chance that it's probably the person who made the game. And I know we have like longer conversations with people about not necessarily just our game, but like game dev in general. Like, it's a much more personal vibe than you would get at like a bigger studios kind of environment, where it is more of a sales pitch there, where this is kind of that, but it's also sort of a conversation more. And it's such a unique kind of vibe to be in around a much like bigger and louder convention. Like, I know we really didn't interface with a lot of MAGFest just because we were working and we were both very tired most of the time, but like just being there and like being in that nice space of like, oh, these are all a bunch of people making stuff at a similar scale as us, and like, look at what they're doing, and oh, that looks so cool, and like, it's really nice to be here, and like just interacting with people in that kind of lens is really neat.
100%. Yeah. You said just now, we said it earlier, your game doesn't have to be 100% perfect, polished, whatever, at a convention. Like, it's okay if there's things you're still working on, maybe things that are not working properly at the moment. Like, that's okay. You know, it's just as long as you kind of are aware of like what those things are, and willing to get that feedback from others at the convention as to, you know, what those things are. You know, maybe you'll hear feedback about things that like you know you need to improve, and you might hear feedback about things that you know you've never heard about before.
Mm-hmm.
So just coming in there with that, you know, with that open mindset, you know, a lot of people are going to learn about your game this weekend, but you're also going to walk away with some really great action items or things that you want that you want to work on moving forward.
Yeah, they're going to learn, and so are you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also keep in mind that there's a lot of folks who go to these conventions as like attendees who mm-hmm. want to make an indie game themselves. Like I've spoken to a number of folks at both MacFest and Too Many Games who like were in the indie section because like they aspire to make a game themselves one day. So they want to also have the opportunity to, you know, check out current indie games, you kind of see what's out there and, you know, talk with folks who are doing what they're trying to do.
For sure. And I really enjoy those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
100%.
It depends on what kind of person you are. Like if you're really anxious about being in public in general, you know, I get that. But like if you can spare the mental capacity, I would absolutely engage when people ask you, you know, inquisitive questions about your games, about making games in general. I would mm-hmm. try to meet them where you're at if you've got the social battery for it, because I find that stuff really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just about paying it forward. It's about like, all right, we're trying to make a cool thing and we all play games, so we mm-hmm. all want to see other cool things that exist. So mm-hmm. if I can give like 1% initiative to some other person to make the game that they want to make in the future, you know, hopefully I'll be able to do it. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Another thing that I thought of on that front, which actually coincides a little to a thing you mentioned, which I think is 100% correct, which is like bring backups of stuff when you can. Like maybe not like, you know, I need one of these and bring six of them, but like when our setups usually have 3 to 4 PCs involved, which means I usually bring like 5 or 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a huge proponent of bringing like the little tiny micro PCs where it's about like, you know, the size of your fist, maybe a tiny bit bigger, because mm-hmm. You can chuck a half a dozen of those in a backpack and it doesn't make
kind of like
barely
3x3 by like maybe 1.5 or 2 or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so bringing extra stuff like you know, if you usually use 4-3 monitors, bring 4 maybe. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. give yourself room for one thing to die.
Many cables.
Mm-hmm. That said, if something like that happens, and we've been fortunate enough to not have any like tragedies
major,
at an
yeah.
event, like hardware wise or otherwise, but if for whatever reason things start to collapse around you, like your demo's mm-hmm. not going the way you want it, and like, you know, a laptop died and you hit crappy traffic and missed an hour of the show or whatever, if some combination of crummy things happen to you, do your best to not take it out on the folks around you, be it like your other fellow developers or other people mm-hmm. at the show. Because that was another thing I was really blown away by at MAGFest in a great way, was how helpful and supportive the staff was, and like pay it forward to those people. Be mm-hmm. be kind to them, be genial to them. There are in most cases volunteering their time to help the event be a success. So if things do go sideways in your own personal experience there, try not to take it out on other folks there, because they're just doing their best too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can't say that's happened to me personally at any point. Like I think when something, you know, goes wrong, people, you know, aren't like really rude about it or anything. And again, that's again just the great thing about, you know, the indie community, is that everyone is just so supportive of each other. You know, when maybe things go wrong, you know, folks are willing to help in any way they can.
For sure. And again, that's kind of as much I'm getting at as anything. Like if you want other support in the future, it certainly helps to just be like genial and mm-hmm. and not taking your frustrations out on other folks, because people are just more willing to help you out in the future mm-hmm. at that point. So it's it's in your best interest as well as everyone else's best interest to try to maintain a level of composure and kind of keep it away at stuff. We've been there plenty of times. That there's a lot of pressure to make the most of your time when you go out to events, and if things go sideways, it can be very frustrating, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, do your best to make the most of it by you know, keeping your cool and getting what you can out of a thing.
Definitely. It's definitely having the backups, like, you know, like I said, you said, is always important. And if stuff really does go wrong, like the nice thing about Too Many Games is there is a bunch of stores right nearby that do sell like, you know, extension cores and chairs and stuff like that. So like if you're ever in a pinch and need, you know, mm-hmm. to grab something quick, you know, there's a good chance there's a place nearby that has what you need.
Yeah, and that's a thing that I don't think we have mentioned before. Like, we've talked about preparing to, like, pay for the show in general in terms mm-hmm. of transport and stuff, but it's probably a good idea to have a cushion, like, at least $200 to $300 in, like, emergency stuff money
yeah.
available at any given point. All right, if this monitor and PC died, I could go, like, buy reasonable facsimiles and not, you know, like, go into debt over it. So, like, maybe a good thing to keep in mind also to, like, if you can't quite spend that much money, it'd be a nice little nest egg to have on the side for an event like that.
100%.
Very good. Well, I think that's most of the stuff I had written down to ask you specifically. I said, Lorraine, any other thoughts before we kind of wrap up here?
I don't think any too specific aside from, I think we've kind of touched on this, like when we had that one other talk about demoing games specifically, but like, it's a lot to do. Like, I'm not the most oh God, I can't even think of the word. I'm extroverted. I'm not an extrovert. So cons are very hard for me to like just kind of put myself out there and be there, because that's also what I do on a for a different aspect at my like normal 9-to-5 job. So like going from that to then doing a con isn't like, it's the same social battery that is never actually full, but it does get easier. Like it's practice. It's the same with like iterating on a game. Like if you're not confident in being able to engage with people right away off the bat, like you can always start at smaller conventions. You could do smaller like local things to kind of build that, like how to get like that kind of rapport going with you and some random stranger who's just walked up on like a hugely busy convention floor, who's maybe looking at your stuff for like 2 seconds and might forget about it in a minute later. But that just takes practice. You just need to like work at it, and like once you start putting yourself out there, it gets easier to take that first step every single time. It's just work.
Very good. And Brandon, do you have any closing thoughts, or can you tell us if you want to ever be an attendee or you want to ever be an exhibitor, where should people go to find more information about Too Many Games?
Yeah, so they can go on our website, toomanygames.com. I mean, the tickets are still for sale, and we've got lots of announcements for guests and all the other things that are happening. Now, we probably won't open the indie applications for next year until probably January. But having said that, I'm always happy to talk to anybody who wants to who has questions about the application process or just about Too Many Games in general. I'm happy to if anyone wants to email me, I'm at brandon@toomanygames.com. I'm more than happy to answer questions anybody has about potentially applying or just be a resource in any way I can to the indie dev community.
Very cool. Well, that's amazing. Well, thank you again.
Yes, thank you
for taking
so
the time
much.
To hang out with us. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. This is really, I really enjoyed getting to talk a bit more about Too Many Games and getting to know you guys as well. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and definitely looking forward to seeing you at the show in just a few months now.
Yes, absolutely. I'm right really glad you guys applied, that you're going to be there. And I'm looking forward to having you and everybody else there. It should be, like I said, it's going to be our biggest. And it's going to be our biggest convention ever and biggest indie showcase ever. So I'm really, we really got lots to look forward to this year.
Yeah, we've never gone. So I'm excited to see. I like seeing new conventions. We were new to MAGFest this year. We're new to this this year too. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
It's going to be a good time for sure. Well, yeah, thank you again so much for taking the time to sit down with us. Thank you out there to anyone who's listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find any of our stuff, you can subscribe to this podcast. Most places podcasts are found. You can find information generally about us by going to cubicorngames.com. If you want more granular information about what we're up to, click the Discord link at the top of that website, and you can get real-time updates from us on what we're working on. You can ping us directly. And if you've got a video game, like an indie game that you're making in any capacity that you'd like us to check out, email it to us at podcast@cubicorngames.com. We try to check out anything that people send us in eventually, so...
We'll get back on streaming at some point.
That's right. That's another kind of like time permitting sort of thing while we do other things. But it is a thing I really enjoy doing when we get the chance to do it. So don't feel free to send stuff into us. And with all that said, I think we're going to call it a show. Thank you again, Lorraine.
Oh, yeah.
For being here as always. And yeah, thank you once more, Brandon, for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course. Thank you guys again. I'll look forward to seeing you in June.
All right. With all that said, we'll see you next time, Internet. Stay safe, and we will be back in a couple weeks with more podcasts.
Bye.